Hey, I want you to be happy, Manning. But I miss my baby, and sometimes I lie awake at night wondering if you're the only person who could bring her home. Chills rose over my skin despite the weight of my sweater. Although this hadn't been my home in a while, it felt nice to hear her say that. No matter what had passed between all of us, I could never erase the happy memories I'd made in this house. I know you and Tiffany divorced, Mom continued. But your family. We're your family. So tell me we haven't seen you in years because you've had a very good reason to stay away.
It's a good reason, ma'am,
Manning said, and I heard both the pride and emotion in his voice.
The best. Almost as good as why I came back.
That was my cue to enter a kitchen I hadn't stepped foot in for years, but where I'd eaten more meals than anywhere, had learned to cook, and had spent countless hours on homework. Some days between school, Dad's work, Mom's real estate appointments, and Tiffany's social life, the kitchen table was the only time all day I'd see my family in one place. Still, my feet were leaden in my boots, and my mom was supposed to be the easiest part of the day. I peeked into the kitchen and caught sight of Manning's back. Knowing he'd be by my side gave me the courage to do it. I walked in food first, holding out the containers of pie and tamales I'd brought like a shield. Manning turned at my footsteps, revealing Mom behind him. I realized in that moment that I'd expected to see the same woman who'd raised me. After all, she sounded the same and treated me the same over the phone. In a cardigan and cigarette pants, hair done in a long bob, her style hadn't changed. But it took my brain a moment to close the 14-year gap between us. She was thinner, the angles of her jaw and curve of her cheekbones more pronounced. Her eyes, the same family of blue she'd passed on to Tiffany and me, filled with tears in an instant. Lake? She nearly whispered. My voice broke. Mom. She came and hugged me around the food clutched in my hands, not even seeming to notice it between us. It was hard not to fall headlong into her familiar scent, a mixture of lemon dish soap and Chanel No. 5. Manning carefully took the Tupperware from me, then found spots for it on the crowded countertops. The tension in his fingers and jawline mirrored the stiffness of my shoulders. This was as important to him as it was terrifying to me, which was the catalyst behind why I'd come. But in the end, it wasn't the reason. This was. My mom rubbing my back as I fought the urge to cry, comforting me the way she had so many times growing up. Lake, honey. There, Mom said. She'd always seemed to know when I was upset, even when I'd hidden it. You're so grown up. Such a beautiful young woman. With her soft words and tightening embrace, what became clear was the years I'd taken away from her by feuding with my dad and Tiffany. I'd known that already, and had harbored some guilt over it. But for the first time, I saw everything as Manning always had. My parents and I had missed out on valuable time together over issues that were heavy because I'd given them more weight than they deserved. Unsure of how else to convey a sudden and overwhelming regret, I hugged her back and just said, Mom. She pulled back to take my face in her hands. Despite a sheen of tears, she smiled, the corners of her eyes creasing with new wrinkles. You're my baby, you know that? I nodded, my chin wobbling. Yes. Thank you for coming home. Thank Manning, I said, already missing his presence. Where had he gone? With a slight turn of my head, all I could manage with my mom's hands holding my cheeks, I saw he hadn't gone anywhere but to a corner where the counters met. The same corner he'd stood the night he'd gotten out of jail. The one spot from where he could see everything in the kitchen, including the doorway to the foyer and to the backyard. He did the same at home, keeping his back to the wall. In public, too. He always walked closest to the curb, insisted on driving any time we were together, and sat at dining tables where he could see the entrance to the restaurant. I hadn't really noticed the habit back then, but it had become obvious over years of living with him. Mom kept an arm around me, following my gaze to Manning. Oh my, she said on a sigh. I suspected over the years, and even hoped, but I didn't really consider the logistics.
You hoped? I asked quietly.
She turned back to me. That you and Manning had found your way to each other?
Yes.
After his divorce, of course.
But why?
I asked. She shook her head, as if she wasn't quite sure herself. I guess it was the only comfort I had. Manning is such a strong, capable man. And loving, too. It gave me peace thinking he was with you.
It was a nice sentiment, but also a reminder of the fact that my connection with Manning had always been impossible to ignore. And yet they had ignored it. All of them. I pulled back, wary of forgetting the past, even though I didn't necessarily want to put more distance between us.
Is it a problem that I'm here?
Of course not. I've got plenty of food. I mean for Dad.
Manning rounded the island, taking a beer from the fridge on his way.
He'll have to accept it or stay in his study all night, she said.
The fear that Tiffany or my dad would walk in stopped me from reaching for Manning's hand. He winked at me, acknowledging that the same was true for him.
What do you want?
He asked.
Wine, beer, water.
Water's good, I said.
You should go to the study to say hello, Mom added. Might be easier for him to swallow this on his territory.
It all had to be on his terms. It wasn't surprising, but that didn't mean it wasn't also frustrating.
On second thought, I said to Manning, swallowing as my nerves kicked in, I'll take some wine.
Manning nodded and left the room, presumably to raid my dad's bar. Mom picked up an oven mitt.
Almost forgot about the candied yams, she said, opening the oven and waving heat away.
I recreated Christmas dinner in case Manning hadn't gotten one. She looked over her shoulder at me and hesitated.
Has it always been him?
Always.
And is it?
She straightened up, moving the baking dish to a trivet.
Is it good?
I crossed my arms in front of me as the contents of my stomach tumbled.
If he weren't the best thing that ever happened to me, I said, do you think I'd put all of us through this?
Surely not, she agreed, smiling again with tear-glass eyes, despite my defensive tone. I inhaled deeply.
About Tiffany, Mom waved a mitt at me.
Don't worry about her.
But—
Pinot Noir and a peace offering, Manning said, returning with wine and a tumbler of amber liquid. He'll be in the mood for this midday.
I took both drinks.
Thanks.
Want me to come with you?
It's okay.
Walking into my dad's study after all this time with my sister's ex-husband, a man my dad had tried to keep me from, didn't seem like the right way to approach this.
I said I'd be by your side with you the whole time,
Manning reminded me.
Knowing you're here is enough. I should do this alone so he doesn't feel ambushed.
When you get to the part about you and me, I'd like to be there.
A conversation with my dad wouldn't last long. On his best days, he wasn't one for idle chit-chat. The thought of being alone with him beyond formalities was enough to make me shudder.
Give us a few minutes, I said to Manning. But no longer.
He squeezed my shoulder.
I'll be right outside the door.
If my mom had an opinion on how I should do this, she didn't volunteer it. She just watched as Manning walked me out of the kitchen. Once in the foyer, there was nothing left to do but knock. Since my hands were full, Manning tapped on the door.
Grab a bottle of bourbon and come on in,
came my dad's voice.
He must have heard me earlier. He thinks you're me.
Manning jutted his chin at me, urging me in as he turned the knob.
You've already got the maker's mark. Go on.
With a stealing breath, I entered the lion's den armed only with liquid courage and the comforting knowledge that when it came to my relationship with my father, things couldn't get much worse.
Chapter 5.
The door to my dad's study closed behind me, sealing me into a room I knew about as well as the man himself. Quiet, tidy, and eerily still. The room only held things my dad loved. Expensive liquor bottles and crystal glasses. Business textbooks that dated back to his time in school. Guns. File cabinets I'd never seen the contents of, important items that kept our household running, but that had been sealed away from the women in his life. It occurred to me that Manning probably knew this office better than I did, and had maybe even been privy to its secrets and mysteries. It took Dad a moment to look up from his computer. With his double take, the beginnings of his smile faded.
What's this?
Taking him by surprise had been a risk. He didn't like to be caught off guard, but this way he wouldn't have time to work himself into a fury either. At least not right away.
I came for dinner.
He sat back in his seat, looking me over.
I thought you were Manning.
I walked farther into the room and set his bourbon on the desk. Although there were more gadgets, it mostly looked the same.
I know what it is.
He picked up the tumbler but didn't drink from it. He had a USC paperweight that had once been on my dresser. He noticed me looking at it.
What are you doing here?
I came for dinner, I repeated. With the way he glowered at the door behind me, I felt the need to add, Mom didn't know.
You could have given her some warning. Seeing you must have upset her.
There might not have been a quicker path to making me feel like a child than standing in front of his desk. Here I'd received summer reading lists, been scolded or praised over grades, and been assigned chores. It wasn't a bad feeling so much as a familiar one. Though my dad's study had been intimidating, it had made me more nervous than afraid. The way he'd click about on his computer, doing what looked like important things as he'd ask about my day at school. I was a mixture of all those things now, intimidated, nervous, afraid. But the difference was I'd grown up and, for the most part, had learned how to harness those emotions. And that I was old enough to drink. I took a long sip of wine and sat across from him. I didn't come in here to talk about Mom. I came to warn you that I'll be at the dinner table whether you want me there or not.
My dinner table, he said.
Not just yours, all of ours. He stared at me as if I'd wandered in off the street. Maybe I'd stunned him, my unflinching father. His silence only spurred me on. Who makes the dinner you eat off the table every night? I asked. Which little girl has stitches on her chin from when she tripped and hit the edge? Who?
All right, I get the gist.
He rubbed the bridge of his nose, leaning back in his seat with a heavy sigh.
Give me a minute.
Only when he shut his eyes could I really allow myself to look at him. He, too, was older. Graying at his temples, lines on his face and hands, he wore his age more obviously, but more gracefully than my mother, who'd seemed tired. Didn't he have anything to say? Didn't I look different to him, too?
Of course you do, he said.
I hadn't realized I'd said it aloud, but if we had any hope at a relationship, it was probably best I started speaking up. There was no reason he should intimidate me anymore. Where he was concerned, I had nothing left to lose. He'd given up hope on me long ago. Not for the first time, I understood my sister's apathy over anything that mattered to my father. If even her best efforts were met with disappointment, why try? Finally, he opened one eye and then another.
Why now?
Why now what?
You left with no notice. We haven't seen you in years. Of course I'm going to ask what brings you back. I do,
Manning said from behind me. I turned in my seat to look at the man I loved, the one who'd not only brought me back, but had my back. I hadn't heard him come in, and maybe I was supposed to do this kind of thing on my own, but I was glad for his reinforcement. Manning entered, closing the study door behind him. He created his own presence in the room instead of shrinking from my dad the way my sister, Mom, and I did. His eyes stayed forward as he approached my chair.
Mr. Kaplan.
I sat back, unsurprised to find Dad watching me, even as he said,
Manning.
He's the reason I'm here, I said. My dad folded his hands on his desk like he was the president about to address the nation.
I suspect he's to blame for many of the choices you've made.
He is, I said. And I'm not ashamed of that. Dad ignored me, turning his attention to Manning.
What do you expect me to say to this?
He asked him.
I've treated you like a son for a long time now. And you have no idea what that's meant to me,
Manning said, gesturing to the bar cart.
We've consumed some pretty great fucking liquor in here, had meaningful discussions. made plans for the future. I'm man enough to admit having you in my life is important.
I glanced up when he paused to find Manning looking down at me.
I've missed that the past few years, but it's the result of the distance you've put between you and your daughter.
Me? He asked, calling our attention back. Lake is the one who left, who never looked back, and who removed this family from her life as if we were some kind of tumor.
Although there was some truth to his words, he had to know, on some level, everything I'd done had come from a place of hurt. No little girl wants to be estranged from her dad, but sometimes it's best. I stood to be next to Manning. He wants to be part of this family, I said. He's helped me realize I want that too, again. I never stopped wanting it, but I let anger and then pride get in the way.
Silence stretched between us as I waited for my dad to admit he'd done the same. He straightened some papers to the side of his desk, glancing at his computer screen as if he were reading from a script.
What are you going to say to your sister? How do you expect her to take this news?
Don't change the subject, Manning said. It was easy for me to come here today, but it wasn't for Lake. She's gotten nothing but silence from you in years, yet she came anyway. She deserves your attention.
I had to stop myself from turning to Manning with an open mouth. I'd never really heard anyone speak to my father that way. In fact, Manning was perhaps the only person I'd ever seen stand up to Dad, though in the past, it had usually been in defense of Tiffany, not me. To my surprise, Dad leaned back in his chair and glided a hand in front of himself.
Then say what you have to say, Lake.
What did I have to say? I had expected my dad to do most of the talking, or screaming, if I was honest. I was tempted to chug my Pinot, but instead I cleared my throat. I'm sorry it's been so long, I said, and it was true. To see how my parents' appearances alone had changed was jarring. They were getting older, and so was I. That wasn't time I could get back. He didn't respond, and I wasn't sure if that made continuing easier or harder. I thought you knew how I felt about Manning back then, I said. I thought you wanted him to marry Tiffany simply because it would hurt me.
You thought correctly, he said with a firm nod. Not that I wanted to hurt you, of course, but as my daughter, I knew what was best for you, and I knew you better than you thought I did. I saw in your eyes what you were willing to give up for a man much older than you, one who could never, in my eyes, be worthy of you.
Hearing the truth both saddened and angered me. He'd had no right to decide my future like that, to put Manning in that box, when there was no man worthier, more deserving of my love. I opened my mouth to tell him so, but Manning took my free hand. He shook his head at me.
Let him speak. I had a feeling, my dad continued, his eyes conspicuously on our laced fingers. If Manning left town, you would follow. If Manning waited until you'd turned 18, then he would have gone to school with you, and your studies would have suffered. The only thing that could keep you away from him was your sister.
Since enough time had passed, I was able to see the logic of an overprotective father. I had no doubt Manning would do anything to keep his future children safe. And it was true. I'd been a 16-year-old girl blinded by my adoration of a man. Even understanding all that, the truth of the matter still hurt. I glanced into my wine glass, shaking my head. But Manning and I lost years together. Dad set his elbows on his desk and opened his hands.
I won't apologize for my actions. I did what I thought needed to be done, and I would do it again.
Finally, he lifted his eyes to look at Manning.
You may not believe me, Lake, but Manning knows this is true. I only ever wanted the best for you.
I'd had years to come to terms with those truths. I already knew them. I hadn't quite made peace with them, but they didn't shock me. It was a small vindication, having my suspicions confirmed, but not much more. I believe you, I said. But I don't know how to forgive you for that, or for casting me aside so easily. Dad turned his head, looking at his bar cart against one wall, but seemingly lost in a thought.
I understand.
My heart squeezed in my chest. It wasn't as if I'd expected him to beg for forgiveness or even apologize for his behavior.
A small part of me had, however, hoped he'd want this reconciliation at least a little bit. Without meaning to, I clutched Manning's hand.
"I'm going to marry her," Manning said.
That snapped both my and my dad's attention back to Manning.
"Excuse me?" Dad asked. "I came to let you know, and to ask for your blessing," Manning continued. "My blessing?" Dad asked, sounding uncharacteristically surprised. "How come?" "Because I respect you, and because your opinion means more to me than anyone's outside of Lake's and Henry's. We're going to marry with or without your approval, but it would mean a lot to me, and to Lake, I think, if you were there."
Dad sniffed.
"What makes you think I'd even consider that? That I would do that to Tiffany?"
"I might let you shame me into feeling bad if I thought your concern for Tiffany was genuine," I said.
"It is," Dad said to me. "Apparently you think I'm something of a monster, but I'm not. Your sister is my firstborn, my blood. Regardless of how you see things, I love her. She's been through a lot, all of which you've missed." "But I have been there every step of the way," Manning interjected. "I know you care about Tiffany. You know I care. You said I was a good husband to her. Am I wrong to say, after all you and I have been through, that you trust my judgment?"
After a tense moment, my dad nodded for Manning to continue.
"You're not wrong, sir. I love Lake. I have for longer than I'd like to admit. But hiding it from her and you and even myself only did everyone in the family a disservice."
He squeezed my hand.
"I'm trying to do the honorable thing by bringing this to light."
My heart pounded. This was a moment 16 years in the making. Our coming out, in a sense. We'd been inseparable for years, but we might as well have been 16 and 23 again, standing before my menacing father and asking his permission to love each other. I was thankful not to be that girl now, because she wouldn't have walked out of this room with Manning. But I would, no matter my dad's response. "I feel the same," I said. "It has always been Manning for me."
"And Lake for me," Manning echoed. "Like you, I've only ever tried to do the best by her, to love and protect her. And now I can do it with every fiber of my being, without worrying about what anyone else says or thinks."
My dad worked his jaw side to side as his eyes clouded. Though I feared his reaction, it wasn't enough to get me to back down, not with Manning at my side. And my father certainly didn't intimidate Manning.
"She's my only concern," Manning continued. "My only priority. And I'm here to tell you that you don't need to worry about her anymore. She's safe and happy and cared for."
My dad had clenched his mouth shut, his lips a bloodless line. Anger darkened his face. I couldn't understand how any of what Manning had professed could upset him. I opened my mouth to defend Manning's love for me, and mine for him, with a ferocity my father had never seen. But I stopped when I saw the tears in his eyes. He set his elbow on the desk and hid his face with one hand. Was he crying?
"Go,"
he said after a moment.
"Leave."
I'd read the emotion on his face as anger because sadness was so unfamiliar there. I was too surprised to do anything other than let Manning pull me out of the study. Once we were alone in the hallway, I looked up at him. "What just happened in there?"
He cracked a little. "And that's good. Believe me."
I don't even know what that was.
"Regret. Pain. You're his daughter, Lake. Of course he worries about you with an intensity neither of us will understand until we have our own children."
He glanced at the door behind me.
"All I did was relieve him of a worry that has weighed on his shoulders for years."
I couldn't help getting choked up, mostly because my emotions were all over the place. Even though I was touched, my pride was still wounded. "If that's true, then why'd he kick us out?"
"It's probably hard for him to let you see him that way."
Manning reached for my Pinot, so I handed it over, even though he rarely drank wine. Maybe he'd been more nervous than I'd thought.
"I've learned a lot from your dad," he said after a sip. "Including the fact that I hide my vulnerabilities from the people I love the same way he does."
"You don't do that with me anymore," I said.
Manning would never be able to help being protective of me and our life. But now we made decisions together that affected us, including the one to be here today. He'd come a long way from the days of keeping me in the dark with the misguided intentions of protecting me.
Like I said, I've learned from him, Manning said. Shutting down his emotions helps nothing, and only hurts the people he loves.
That doesn't explain why he told us to go, I said, still stung by the rejection. Is he angry?
If I had to guess.
The corner of Manning's lips quirked, and after a moment he chuckled.
I'd say yes, only because angry is your dad's default emotion. But I'm sure it's more that he didn't want you to see his concern and regret. That's the way he's programmed. I think we got through to him, though.
You did, I said, raising my hand to touch Manning's cheek. I've never seen him back down to anyone but you.
Because I'm more like him than I sometimes want you to realize.
He focused his full attention on me and demanded the same from me, so I noticed as his eyes suddenly set with determination.
But I promise, the mistakes he's made, the ones my dad's made, and even my own, too, will only serve as lessons to me. They'll shape the father I become for the better.
My stomach fluttered the way it always did at the thought of Manning as a father. This time, though, the butterflies were more severe, because I knew Manning could already be a father. We'd ceremoniously thrown away my birth control after our marriage talk and had already started the process of turning the idea of a family into reality. I curled my fingers a little into Manning's cheek. Then I don't regret a thing, I said. If any of our heartache will make us better parents, I have nothing but gratitude for it.
Same, he winked. But enough with the difficult lessons. I'm ready to put what I've learned into practice.
So was I. A small part of me wanted to get pregnant quickly, before one of us realized we'd gotten the order of things all wrong. We'd only been at it weeks, but I couldn't help hoping that was all it would take.
Chapter 6.
Even after years away, I moved seamlessly around the kitchen with my mom. She handed me the turkey roast from the oven that she'd made many times throughout my childhood, then complimented my tamales, even though they were a completely untraditional dish for my family. As I washed my hands, I watched Manning in the backyard through the window over the sink. A cigarette stuck in the corner of his mouth, he squatted to fix an uneven patio chair. When he and I had first moved in together, I'd been able to coax him away from his pack-a-day habit with baked goods, blowjobs, and back rubs. After that, I rarely saw him with a cigarette. But he'd lit up between every meal yesterday, on the drive down today, and now, had he been smoking the entire half hour he'd been in the backyard? Always needs to keep his hands busy, that one, Mom said as she moved pots and pans into the sink. Especially when he's nervous. Manning had been smoking and moving around nonstop the past few days. Confronting my family might have been his idea, but that didn't mean it was easy for him.
You can tell? I asked.
Sure. He's spent a lot of time around here. I wouldn't say he's easy to read all the time, but he has his moods. She smiled a little at me.
Wouldn't you be nervous in his position?
Manning hadn't seen much of Tiffany since their divorce, although they spoke now and then. I never stayed in the room for their conversations, but according to him, they didn't cover much more than formalities. Manning didn't like hiding our relationship from the people he cared about any more than I did. Manning moved from a patio chair to what looked like a busted wall sconce. I was still standing at the window when the front door opened and the telltale click of heels crossed the foyer. It happened so quickly that I didn't have time to call for Manning or even my mother, who had disappeared into the pantry. I seized the nearest bottle of wine and was already pouring myself a refill as Tiffany walked in. She stopped when she saw me, and I froze mid-pour. Just the island sat between us. Her hair, long and curled, covered the shoulders of a burgundy shrug, and she held a pie tin in her hand. She glanced at my blueberry pie on the countertop and then at me.
You're spilling wine.
Shit. I set down the bottle and ripped off a paper towel to mop up the overflow.
I didn't know you'd be here tonight, she said.
Her short black dress and high heels wouldn't normally have been out of the ordinary, except that as far as she knew, it was a plain old dinner with the family, and Manning and his date. "Well, I am," I mumbled, glancing over my shoulder at Manning, who'd left me high and dry when this had been his idea. I willed him to look up and come inside, but he continued to tinker with the lighting fixture. Tiffany followed my gaze. This wasn't exactly how I wanted her to find out. I'd assumed Manning would be at my side when she showed up. Even my mother was taking an unusually long time in the pantry. Or maybe, to make things extra uncomfortable, time had slowed down only for Tiffany and me. Her eyes darted from the window back to my face.
"You're here with him?" she asked.
It had been years since I'd shown up at Manning's home in Big Bear and stayed for good. Even longer since he and Tiffany had decided to end their marriage. But I suppose there was really no amount of time that would make this conversation any less awkward, so I took a stealing breath and raised my overfilled wine glass before I said, "Yes, I'm Manning's, well, date, for lack of a better word."
"Oh my God, ugh!"
She gagged like a cat with a furball stuck in its throat.
"Yep,"
I slurped Pinot off the top. "I didn't know the best way to tell you, just that I wanted to do it in person." After setting the glass down, I patted the corners of my mouth with the towel. "I know it's shocking, but believe me, neither of us wants to hurt you."
"You're dating my ex-husband,"
Tiffany pointed out, her voice pitching.
"You have every right to be angry and hurt," I said, opening the cupboard under the sink to toss the paper towel in the trash. "But you have to admit that some part of you knew this could happen. How long has this been going on?"
"A long time. But then you knew that." I held my breath in anticipation of my sister's wrath. So much time had passed, and so many confusing emotions and memories still tinged the air between us with tension. When Tiffany had asked Manning to the fair all those years ago, could she have ever imagined things would end up this way? Could I? And if so, would either of us have changed anything? Because I knew I was in the wrong, and that the insecurity that lived in my sister often caused her to lash out. I wanted to go to her, hug her, be her little sister again, remind her that I loved her despite everything, even as I knowingly hurt her. But this moment wasn't about me. It was about what she needed. "Manning and I want to be a part of this family," I continued when she didn't respond. "We want to stay for dinner and hear about your life, and share ours as well." Again, I looked out the window. After the struggle it had taken to get me to the house, Manning wouldn't want to leave, but in that moment, I wasn't sure I had any right to force my presence on Tiffany. Her face scrunched as if she'd bitten into a lemon.
"It's weird," she said, "and kind of gross. I wouldn't want somebody else's sloppy seconds, especially my sister's, but it's your life."
I blinked at her a few times, trying to process her words. Weird? Gross? Sloppy seconds? I had to stop myself from laughing. That response didn't faze me at all. I'd never seen Manning as sloppy seconds, only as the man I loved.
"You're not angry?" I asked.
Tiffany set her pie down. I fought myself from checking if she'd also brought Manning's favorite flavor. She twisted her lips as if considering whether she should be angry. It was unlike her to deny an opportunity to overreact, which made me wonder if she'd matured at some point over the past decade, or if I'd stumbled into some kind of alternate universe. The latter seemed more likely.
"I'm not angry," she decided, lightly flipping some hair over her shoulder. "I mean, I've suspected this since the divorce. I know you told me at the viewing party you hadn't seen him, but I wasn't sure if I could believe you."
"It was the truth," I said. "Nothing happened until after."
"Well, I didn't know that. So all this time I sort of assumed you might be together."
She rounded the island to pick up the wine bottle, checking to make sure I'd left some.
"But even if I hadn't had time to come to terms with it," she said, pouring herself a glass, "I don't think the two of you together ever surprised me. Not at camp, and not in New York."
Her point wasn't lost on me. Perhaps Manning and I hadn't always been fair to Tiffany, but it would be impossible to explain or reason away a love like ours. So instead,
I just laid out the truth.
If it helps, it was never about hurting you. But Manning and I, we are, and always have been, so in love.
She set her drink on the island and squatted to a cabinet to remove a cake stand, the same one my mom and I had used over the years for dessert. It was bizarre to picture Tiffany baking, but apparently it wasn't her first time.
Oh, I totally understand.
Of all the reactions I'd expected to get from Tiffany, understanding was nowhere near the top of the list. It wasn't even on the list.
You do?
I asked, failing to hide my surprise. Smiling to herself, she ran her fingers under the lid of the tin, working it open.
Love makes you do crazy things.
Was she serious, or passive-aggressively insulting me?
Yes, it does, I said. And I know this can't be easy for you, but like I said, we had no intention of...
All right, already, she said.
I don't care. This whole thing is like ancient history. I have more important things happening in my life.
Oh. Oh, that was different. Or was it? Only one thing could distract Tiffany from talking about herself, and that was talking about herself.
What's happening in your life?
She opened a drawer to get a pie server.
I met a man. A doctor.
You're dating someone? I asked.
Dating?
She hummed a laugh as if enjoying an inside joke.
It seems like such a small word for what we're doing.
She'd just used the same word to describe Manning and me, so of course I understood how small it felt. He and I had done a lot, but we hadn't truly dated. Certainly that would be lost on Tiffany, though, especially because it seemed as if she'd forgotten I was even in the room.
Who is he?
I asked. She transferred the pie to the cake plate.
Robbie. You don't know him, but he's the most wonderful man I've ever met. He's tall and handsome, and a doctor.
You mentioned that.
Well, it says so much about who he is. Kind, caring, and great with kids.
She shifted her eyes over my shoulder and out the back window. I couldn't help wondering if Robbie really existed in all his perfection, or if this was another way for Tiffany to get a leg up on me. I was in love. She was in more love. I'd met the best man in the world. Well, hers was a doctor. Even with the adoring look on her face, I wasn't entirely sure it was genuine. It couldn't be easy to see me with Manning. Was she talking Robbie up to make herself look better? Or was she so enamored she really didn't give a shit what we did?
I'm happy for you.
I relaxed my hip against the counter.
How long have you been together?
I asked with a sip of Pinot.
Over a year. I've never been happier. I literally don't even care about stupid stuff anymore, you know? Robbie always says drama is below us.
I nearly spit out my wine. But without drama, who was my sister?
I need to meet Robbie.
He's wonderful, Mom said, re-entering the kitchen. I eyed her armfuls of canned goods.
You felt a sudden need to clean out the pantry?
I remembered that Robbie asked me to donate some food to a drive at the hospital, she said, averting her eyes.
Right.
Surely it had nothing to do with wanting to stay out of the fray. I looked for Manning again as Tiffany brushed by me.
I should say hello, she said, pulling open the sliding glass door.
I started to follow her when my mom touched my arm. Give them a minute, sweetie.
Manning might need me there.
You did it on your own, Mom said. So can he. Let your sister process this how she needs to. Reluctantly, I returned to the window to watch them.
Is Robbie real? I asked.
She laughed.
Completely. He's a very nice man.
And a doctor. He's patient with her. Just what she needs.
Hmm.
I gripped the sink as Manning blew on a dusty light bulb, then screwed it back in. He paused and turned as Tiffany approached. They exchanged a few words, and then he offered her a cigarette, cupping his hand around her mouth as he lit it for her. Tiffany's shoulders fell from around her ears as she cocked a hip. Manning took a drag, smiling a little as he nodded and blew smoke into the backyard. No longer in the same room as Tiffany, relief filtered through me, and it looked as if she felt the same. She nudged his shoulder with a laugh, then glanced in my direction. Even though Manning and I had ended up together, and I couldn't feel anything other than grateful for it, Tiffany had shared one experience with Manning I still hadn't. I turned away from the window to face the pies. "Do you have another cake plate?"
"I don't," Mom said, frowning.
"Sorry, honey. We'll get both on the table tonight, though." I lifted the cover and inspected Tiffany's baking skills. Apple, Manning's second favorite flavor. It smelled amazing.
"This isn't store-bought?" I asked.
"I'd be surprised. Tiffany loves to bake."
There's a sentence I never thought I'd hear.
I recovered the dessert. I'd always considered the kitchen my domain, but it looked like if I came home again, I'd be sharing it. Manning slid open the kitchen door for Tiffany, who removed her shrug on her way out of the kitchen. Noticing my half-empty glass, he picked up the bottle of wine I'd been drinking from the last half hour on his way over to me.
"You good?" he asked under his breath.
"I think so."
"Yeah?"
he asked, refilling my drink.
"Did it not go well? She was weirdly calm out there."
"No, she was fine. I was so shocked that I'm not even sure I remember what we talked about, but..."
"Dinner's ready. Go tell your father."
Mom paused while separating dinner rolls into a basket, as if suddenly recalling this wasn't just another Sunday dinner.
"Never mind, I'll get him."
Once Manning and I were alone, he asked,
"But what? What's the matter?"
"It's strange to see you and Tiffany together. She seems so comfortable with you." He set down the bottle and took my jaw in one big hand, lifting my face to him.
"That's good, Lake. Trust me, I've never seen her and I would know. She's in love."
"With a doctor?" I added. He laughed.
"Yeah. She doesn't give a rat's ass about us beyond making sure we know what he does for a living. She isn't looking to cause us any trouble."
As he leaned in for a kiss, I checked that we were still alone.
"That's probably not appropriate," I told him.
"Lake," he said in the same firm but exasperated tone he used whenever I pulled away from him.
"You can wait until we're home."
With a frown, he let me go.
"If I can't kiss you, then you better tell me what I want to hear."
"I love you," I said. "Isn't putting myself through this evidence of that?"
"Hate having to keep my fucking hands off you again. It's like I'm 20 goddamn 3 all over again."
Despite his earnest expression, I couldn't help laughing. "It really is funny if you think about it, us being here."
"Hilarious."
He stuck his hands in his pockets as my dad entered the kitchen with Mom and Tiffany trailing behind him.
"Hmm," Dad said, circling the island. "Pie."
I figured that was the best I could hope for. He wasn't red in the face or kicking us out or locking himself in his study. Not yet, anyway.
"With blueberries," I added.
"With apples," Tiffany said.
"In the same pie?"
he asked. Tiffany's giggle caused one to bubble up in me as well, but I swallowed it down, still unsure of how to read everyone's mood.
"No, Daddy," Tiffany said,
fluttering her lashes.
"I made apple. Lake brought blueberry. You have to choose."
He grunted before leaving the kitchen. I knew before I heard the clink of glass on glass in the den that he was pouring himself a drink.
"Well, go on,"
he called, as if he could sense our unease from the next room.
"Let's sit and eat your mother's dinner."
"Robbie loves apple pie," Tiffany said.
She and I gravitated right to our regular seats at the table, as if no time had passed.
"That's why I made it."
"He's coming tonight?"
I asked.
"No, we were walking out the door when he got a page. He's on call a lot."
"What kind of doctor is he?"
Manning asked, setting my refilled wine glass in front of me.
"A pediatrician," she quipped. "Did I not mention that?"
Uh-huh. Patience was a requirement of Robbie's job. "No wonder," I said. She narrowed her eyes at me.
"What's that mean?"
"Nothing,"
Manning answered for me, helping me scoot my chair closer to the table before he sat.
"He must like kids."
"He does," she said. "It's all he can talk about."
Manning put an arm around the back of my chair. One thing he'd asked of me today was that I didn't talk about our decision to have children. He liked that it only belonged to us for now, and I agreed.
By the way he squeezed my shoulder, he must have known what was coming.
Oh, grandbabies, my mom gushed as she carried dishes into the dining room.
She waited until my dad was at the table to place one in front of him.
What the hell are those?
He asked.
Your daughter made it, she said as she returned to the kitchen. Something different to spice up our table.
They're tamales, I said.
Mexican food?
Dad asked.
You brought them?
You don't have to eat them, Tiffany said to him. But they actually smell pretty good.
I'm with Robbie, you know, Mom said, floating back into the room with the roast. I can't wait for both of you girls to have babies.
Well, it shouldn't be far off. Dad picked up the carving knife. Manning here has just asked for my blessing to marry Lake.
Chapter 7.
With my eyes on my empty plate, I couldn't tell if the silence following my dad's declaration was surprise or something else. Announcing our impending wedding was part of the reason we were here, but I'd assumed Manning would be the one to bring it up. Manning cleared his throat.
I want nothing more than to marry Lake, he said. She's practically my wife already. It's just a matter of making it official, and we'd love for you all to be there.
Tiffany snorted.
This is beyond twisted. You know that, don't you?
I looked at Manning as he shrugged, then to my sister. I sat up a little straighter.
It is what it is.
Goodness. Mom passed rosemary roasted potatoes to Tiffany.
Charles, serve the turkey.
He stood and slid the roast in front of him.
Who wants a leg?
He asked and flipped on the electric knife. My mom frowned as she started the rotation of side dishes.
That's big news after barely hearing from you for so long, she yelled as my dad carved.
I know. I accepted a bowl of broccoli.
I'm sorry it's sudden for you, but it isn't for us.
We don't even know what your life is like, Mom said, frowning.
I thought you were living in Pomona.
Part of the week. On weekends and holidays, I go home.
What?
Dad sliced off breast meat.
Home?
To Manning, I enunciated. And our place in Big Bear. My dad turned to Manning, pointing the whirring knife in his direction. After a few tense seconds, he shut it off.
All these years. I would have mentioned it sooner, sir, Manning said. But Lake and I needed our privacy. That's fine. All fine, Dad shrugged. Makes no difference to me.
Except it did. His play of indifference wasn't convincing. Frustrating as it was that he couldn't own up to his feelings, it also made me grateful I'd come today. I hadn't wanted to do this, but I could see my dad cared about his relationship with Manning, just as Manning did.
Manning is the reason I'm here tonight, I said, serving myself a tamale. Your approval means a lot to him. He wants to be part of this family again.
We know that, honey, Mom said, taking my hand across the table. We know you want that too, and I promise it makes us nothing but ecstatic. Of course you have our blessing,
Kathy.
What, Charles?
She barely spared him a glance before continuing.
I wouldn't miss the wedding for the world. I want to be a part of it, though.
We want to know more about who you are now. I went stiff. I didn't know where to begin, or how to get things back to what they were. Yet my mom looked at me expectantly, waiting for me to spill my guts.
Right now? I asked.
Let's start with having a nice meal together tonight, Manning said, one arm back around my chair as he accepted a platter of sliced turkey with the other. We'll go from there.
Grateful for the save, I put my hand on Manning's thigh, even though it also meant eating one-handed.
We don't need an answer now, I said.
We just wanted to let you know our plans, Manning added.
Let's see the ring, Tiffany said.
I told Manning I'd wear the mood ring for now, knowing how he worried about money. I didn't need more than that anyway. I doubted Tiffany would understand, though, so I said, We're putting that money into the wedding.
No ring? She asked. Are you serious?
If your sister doesn't want a ring, that's fine, my mom said, batting her lashes at Manning.
But it is a nice symbol of your devotion to each other, even if it's something small.
I'll take that into consideration, Manning said.
"How's school?" Dad asked just as I had taken a bite, not that he'd noticed since he continued to look anywhere but at me. Still, it was akin to me taking a step into this house. Dad was opening a door long closed, not only accepting my presence but inviting me in. Swallowing my food with a sip of water, I shivered when Tiffany's knife scraped the china. "It's great," I said. "By this time next year, I'll be a licensed vet."
"She's one of the top students in her program," Manning said.
"I should hope so,"
Dad cut his turkey breast, nodding.
"She'll be thankful for years of focused study when she's slicing Fido open on her operating table."
"Dad," Tiffany said, making a face.
"What?"
he asked.
"You better get used to it if you're going to marry a doctor."
"Marry?" Tiffany perked up, grinning. "Did Robbie say something to you?"
"No,"
Dad barked.
"You remind me at every Sunday dinner that you plan to be married by the end of next year."
She put an elbow on the table and her chin in her hand. "I do." As cautious as I was about rejoining this family, there was some comfort in their bickering. My dad was still unapologetically himself, but at the root of it, he cared. "Anyway," I continued, "I'll spend the next few months interviewing with a couple animal hospitals in Big Bear, but eventually I want to open my own practice." He raised his tumbler.
"What you should have been doing from the start," he said.
"Maybe," I conceded. "I just had to figure that out on my own." Dad continued eating. He didn't smile at that, but his frown eased completely.
"We're not paying for the wedding," he said, looking between my sister and me. "Either one."
Money hadn't even crossed my mind. I'd thought getting him to acknowledge our presence long enough to hear there was a wedding would be the one and only topic on tonight's agenda.
"I'll be fine," Tiffany said. "I learned my lesson the first time thinking money wasn't as important as love. Not having it can cause major problems."
She popped a potato in her mouth.
"That's why I made finding a wealthy man a priority. I never realized I could have both."
I studied my sister's body language, her contented sighs, tiny smiles, the pink tinge of her cheeks, to decide whether she was bluffing about her relationship.
"I could have told you years ago you needed someone with money," I said.
"As could I," Manning added. "And I did, several times."
Tiffany shrugged off our comments. Manning, on the other hand, forked a broccoli stem so hard it tumbled over the side of the plate. His heavy brows made me wonder if Tiffany had hurt his feelings by implying he hadn't financially supported her the way she'd needed. Though her comment had been rude and thoughtless, I hadn't thought she still had the power to get under his skin. Turning back to the table, I said, "We're fine to pay for our wedding. Money isn't an issue for us. The ceremony will be pretty small and intimate." I glanced at Manning when he removed his arm from the back of my chair. "But even if it wasn't, we'd be fine. Manning's furniture sells very well."
"Even in this economy?" Dad asked.
Manning cleared his throat.
"I do fine."
"That's what I was saying." I tried to catch his gaze, but he kept it forward. "You have more business than you know what to do with."
"Then you've got a solid empire there. Men my age are losing their jobs and savings with this recession."
Dad scratched his jaw.
"I've been telling you for years you need help." "I have help. Some local kids."
After our talk weeks ago, Manning had relented and taken on the teenage son of a contractor he knew to help keep the shop organized. Then he'd hired a 20-year-old college student to do his books. "I think Dad means someone to help with the actual furniture."
"I have an ear to the ground, but I'm sure it'll be a while before I find anyone."
"Maybe I can help," Dad said.
"Email me a job description and the hourly wage."
Manning ran a finger under his collar.
"I'm not sure it's the right time. Who knows when the economy will recover?"
"I think we've survived the worst of it," I said.
"My furniture is a luxury, not a necessity. And with a business directly related to homes, in this market, things could still decline."
I could hear the irritation in Manning's voice, though I wasn't sure where it was coming from. Even if business did suffer, Manning had always been good with money. I had complete faith we'd land on our feet.
Didn't he? "Maybe it's time to consider reducing the quality of the pieces,"
Dad suggested. With some cheap labor, you could create a more affordable line.
Manning wiped his mouth with his napkin and set it on the table before scooting out his chair.
Excuse me.
Where are you going? I asked, twisting my head to try to read his body language.
To get something from the truck, he said on his way out of the dining room. I'll be right back.
I wasn't buying that, and neither was my mom.
Why do you get on him about his business? Mom asked my dad.
You know he likes to do things his way.
Because he's being stubborn for no good reason. If he's planning on a family, he needs to think smarter about how to generate the most income while keeping expenses down.
Manning struggled with that part of his business. Building each piece to his nearly impossible specifications kept him from looking for help, but he also felt pressured to not only take on, but please, every client. He's doing everything the way he needs to, I said, also getting up. He'd never hire cheap labor to make an extra buck. Also, he's more dedicated than anyone I know, and he has a loyal customer base to show for it.
I didn't say anything about dedication.
Dad called after me as I left the room.
I'm talking about basic supply and demand here.
I took my jacket from the coat rack and pulled it on as I went out front. With the setting sun as his backdrop, Manning leaned against the side of his truck, smoking. Again. I bypassed the front walkway for the lawn's grassy hill, which got me to him faster. What's the matter? I asked.
Nothing, beautiful.
I crossed my arms. Then stop smoking so much.
It's just a little more than usual,
he said, but dropped the half-finished cigarette to the curb. He stamped it out, nodding at me.
See? Now come here.
I went to him, hugging his middle as I looked up at him. What's wrong, Manning? Really? I've seen your books. We did our tax returns together. I know we're not having money trouble.
We easily could be. With your tuition and a wedding and starting a family on top of the mortgage and business expenses. Lake, your dad's right. I've hit a ceiling with how much I can produce. I could be making a lot more.
I shook my head. We're fine. We're in less debt than most people, and we only have it in the first place because of my student loans. I'm graduating soon, and I can start contributing. Plus, I still have some money saved from when I worked on the show.
Money you set aside for our baby's future.
He smoothed a hand over my hairline.
I don't want you to worry about any of this. We are fine. We're perfect.
As he said it, I rubbed the frown lines from between his eyes. Worry was stitched into Manning's DNA. Perfect doesn't exist.
As long as you exist, your argument will fall on deaf ears.
I'll support whatever you decide, I said. I love that you're so dedicated to your craft, but I also worry you work yourself too hard. If you hire help, it means you can spend more time with me.
It also means being responsible for someone else's income. If the economy tanks even more, then what?
You fire him.
He or she would depend on me. I'd only bring on someone skilled, not someone I could just let go when times are tough.
He sniffed.
By the way, I would never make an affordable line.
I forbid you from it, I said.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. You're too good at what you do. It would devalue your work. I patted the pack in his back pocket. And while we're at it, I also demand that you cut back on the smoking before you get in too deep again. He covered the top of my head with his hand.
This little girl thinks she can forbid me from anything.
I'm not so little anymore, I said, straightening up.
No, you're not.
He laced his hand with mine and pulled me away from the truck. But as I turned back for the house, he tugged me in the opposite direction.
Come with me.
Where? I asked as we walked off the curb and toward my parents' neighbor's house. He didn't answer, walking us along their front lawn until we were standing at the end of their walkway. He released my hand to point at the wall we'd both sat on the day we'd met.
I can still see you standing in front of me, that giant backpack weighing you down. And then, up on the wall, nervously kicking the heels of your tennis shoes against the bricks.
What makes you think I was nervous?
Call it a hunch.
I smiled, sticking my hands in the back pockets of my jeans. Summers didn't have that same breezy, careless feel anymore.
They were different now, but so were Manning and I. He'd been right when he'd said we'd both been kids back then. To me, he'd been as much an adult as anyone I knew, but the truth